The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Getting back on track, we've been doing a lot of shows about lots of stuff, but I've been remiss on doing shows about training. And my guest today is Rob Regish. How you doing, Rob?
Doing great, Carl. How about you?
Good, good. Rob is the author of a training manual that's growing like wildfire in popularity, and that is the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0. And Rob has helped a lot of people actually break plateaus in the three lifts that we're going to be discussing, and I thought, you know, what an appropriate discussion to have with him. We're going to be talking about the bench press, the squat, and the deadlift, not necessarily in that order. And we're going to be talking about, you know, things that you can do to spice it up, to break those plateaus, to make those personal bests, which Rob is always advocating. If you're not making that kind of progress, what are you doing in the gym? Right, Rob?
Yes, sir. And I wanted to thank you for having me back because this really is an important topic. Let's face it. You know, you go to the gym to make progress, not necessarily set gym attendance records. So, you know, getting the poundage up, getting stronger, alpha strength, as I call it, is the basis of all strength. It's at the bottom of the pyramid. So what we will be discussing today is very important.
Absolutely. What? First of all, just out of curiosity, do you have a favorite lift of the three lifts, the bench press, the deadlift, and the squat?
I do. Right now it's the bench press. It used to be the deadlift. And
why is that? Why was it the deadlift, and why is it now the bench press?
Well, it used to be the deadlift because I had an injury-free back. And I only wish I had met Mr. Carl Lenore and his tips on inversion boards years ago. but the reality is I can still deadlift and do, but as you know, as you age, things take their toll on the spine.
Yes.
And you must be judicious about that particular lift. Now, the bench press, part of the reason why I am focusing on that today is that I can do a lot more work for my upper body where there are no existing injuries in my shoulders, elbows. I've been blessed. I've never torn a pec or anything like that. But also it takes less out of you, as you know.
Yes.
I mean, if you're squatting and deadlifting, you are moving a lot of muscle tissue, and this is an important point. By moving the body and the weight through space, your central nervous system is at a very high activation level.
Right.
As opposed to the bench where your appendages and the weight are
well,
just
think of electricity for a moment, okay? Think of a city for a second. Imagine your body is a city, and the demand for electricity is city-wide, everybody turns on their air conditioners, turns on their electric heaters, their electric stove. They turn on every electric appliance. And we know what happens in big cities. They call them brownouts. What happens is the demand for power exceeds the actual ability to deliver that power. And so certain things stall. Some homes will get all the power they need because they're closest to the, let's say, the power station. But the ones furthest away, they end up browning out. They just kind of get a portion of the electricity, and not everything runs properly. Well, now think of your body that way. When you do the big lifts, like the deadlift and the squat, your body is that city demanding power everywhere, from the neck down to the base of the feet. And it takes a lot of nervous system energy to coordinate and enlist all of those muscle groups at the same time and keep them engaged and focused on the task at hand. So
yeah,
it really is very demanding. You're right.
There's no question about it. I personally learned that lesson the hard way, And then when I set about to fix things, I learned more through chiropractors than I did through any textbook.
How did you learn it the hard way? Did you burn out?
No, what happened to me, Carl, was one of my vertebrae was rotated just slightly.
A subluxation, sure.
Yes, yes, sir. And unbeknownst to me at the time, it was putting pressure on the nerve that runs to the muscle. And when that happens, the muscle spasms or contracts to protect the joint. So here I was for about half a year thinking it was a, you know, it's a muscle pull, it's something muscular. I got to the point where I was taking these little tiny baby steps. And it took me 45 minutes one day to put my socks on. Well, I had always been told that chiropractors were quacks, there was nothing to it. I said, what do I have to lose? Long story short, my first visit to a chiropractor, I barely shuffled in there, taking those little baby steps. He was old school. He put me on the table, no x-rays. He said, what's wrong? I said, my back hurts. He said, lie down there. I'll be back in 10 minutes. He came back, made an adjustment, and I walked out of there pain-free.
Really?
I was so dumbfounded when I got to my car. I walked back in and I said, that was no placebo. I said, how, you know, what did you do? And he explained to me, you know, he's pointing to the dummy, the skeleton on the wall. He said, you had a subluxation and all I did was move that vertebrae back into place. Therefore, there's no more pressure on the nerve. Therefore, the muscle isn't spasming.
Right.
So, he also said, I know what you're going to do now. I said, what? He said, you're going to go back in the gym and screw up everything that I just did. and you know the rest of that story.
Yeah.
At 19 years of age, I sure followed through.
Yeah. Well, at 19, you're far away from a point in time giving up some of these strong, big lifts, obviously.
I hear you.
So you're still thriving at that point in time, let's face it. Expecting you to give them up was foolish on his part.
It really is, and I think a lot of doctors today, though, especially the younger ones coming out of medical school, have a better grasp and an understanding that athletes in particular are not going to give up. And
no.
In fact, if you read the latest studies, bed rest is
worse.
Worse.
It's worse for you. Let's face it, the muscle deteriorate, and that causes greater degree of problems because the spine depends on the musculature of the body to keep it suspended in animation, to keep everything from just collapsing down on itself.
And this is particularly true in the case of the back and discs,
yeah,
where the blood flow is notoriously either, you know, I don't want to say non-existent, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, and this is a good opportunity to mention something. For those of you out there who like to do that fancy movement that your personal trainer may have you doing, it's a combination of a walking lunge. You usually hold one of those weighted basketballs in your hands in front of you, and with each stride, you shift your body, rotating at the hips, your upper body, to the 3 o'clock and back to 12, and then you take the other stride, and then you go to 9 o'clock, and then back to 12. When you do that, you're putting your body at great risk. This was taught to me by a chiropractor who is also a power lifter. When you rotate your spine, because of the way the disc is created, the striation of the capsule of the disc, when you rotate your spine, when your hips are facing forward and your face is facing forward, each disc has 100% of the available strength to resist being compacted. When you
yeah.
rotate even 15 to 20 degrees in either to the right or to the left, you reduce the disc strength of being compacted by as much as 50%, by half. So
yeah,
it's a very dangerous. Any of those rotating movements with weight on you, I say it's idiotic. Personally,
it is, and here's what I tell my people: do not rotate under load.
There you go.
If you do, do yourself a favor: call your doctor or chiropractor and set the appointment up beforehand.
Right.
You know, it's just not a wise idea. Now, conversely, let's take a look at Finnish loggers, many of which are some of the greatest deadlifters in the world. How did they get that way? Well, after they chop the tree down, they have to drag that tree right down
right.
to the logging trail where the machine picks it up.
Right.
These guys have built massive amounts of strength in their legs, hips, glutes, lower back, and it's a perfect example of how to do it without any vertical compression of the spine or axial loading.
Right, right. All right, let's do this. Let's do this. We have to take a quick commercial break. We got to pay some bills. We should also mention that Rob is going to be a sponsor on the show very shortly. We're going to start running some spots for his book, the Blueprint. And we're not going to get into that today, but look forward to a follow-up interview when we start doing that, because I have determined that his approach, the unique thing about Rob Regish's approach is this. It's not Rob Regish's approach. Rob is kind of like Google for physical culture. The way you can go in and search for something on Google and Google will bring everything to you. Rob is like Google, but intelligently for physical culture, because what he does is he looks at the training paradigms that seem to produce the best results and he combines them all together and he gives you a training program. He saves you the time of wasting your money on this book and that one and this one and that one, and just gives you the cream of the crop. And that's why so many people who are using the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 are astounded by the speed in which they are building muscle and strength. And I'm here to tell you, I've done a lot of research on the people that are using this right now. Rob has really got a winner here. So we're going to be helping him promote his book here on Supreme Radio very shortly, and I'm hoping that everybody shows him some love. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll get right into this, starting with the three core lifts and how you can break plateaus, some tricks and tips from Rob Regish. We'll be right back. Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal patch. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. Orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age Force Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get 2 of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Rob Regish. We're talking about how to break plateaus, how to make gains in the three major lifts, the bench press, the deadlift, and the squat. You should be doing at least two of these movements in the gym. I mean, I don't bench press because my shoulder's a problem, but I'm going to get over these shoulder problems, I promise you, and I will be benching again. But I relegate myself to heavy back work and heavy leg work because that's where I can move the most weight. I went into the gym this morning. I'm training fasted right now. I don't know if you're a big fan of intermittent fasting, Rob. Are you?
I am. I think we had this discussion last show. I've practiced the Warrior Diet since '99.
Well, I'm actually training every day right now. I'm not able to train to 100% maximum efficiency because I am training every body part that I can train every single day. And I'm training fasted. I trained fasted this morning. Went into the gym this morning and did some back work, some leg work. I do some light shoulder work as a rehabilitative measure. I do some, pec deck work for my chest just to kind of keep it engaged.
Yeah. So you've got the opposite situation that I do, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I pulled a 455 this morning for three reps as my last set of deadlifts. And then immediately went over and did light leg work, leg extensions, leg curls, and then from there did some upper body rowing movements and so on. And you know, I just try to keep it. I try to keep myself in that groove until I can drop the rest of the body fat I want, and then I'll focus on training for strength again. So right now I'm trying to cut.
Yeah, I speak with a lot of guys with shoulder injuries, this one piece of advice was given to me once, and it always stuck. For every push movement that you do, make sure you're doing a pull. Every set, you know, rep for rep, set for set, make sure you're doing a pull for every push to ensure shoulder health.
And interestingly enough, I want to get onto the discussion here in a moment, but interestingly enough, one of the things that you embrace in the blueprint is Charles Staley's EDT training protocol, correct?
Absolutely.
And that happens to marry the opposing movements. You do a rowing movement combined with a pushing movement, usually in the same plane that you're doing the rowing movement, and you do those antagonistically without any rest in between.
Yeah, Charles has done, I can't say enough, Charles has done a fantastic job by distilling the very fundamentals of progressive overload, but also, as you pointed out, having the antagonist work against the agonist muscle. So Charles Staley, Pete Sisko, Mike Mentzner, going back, I do not discriminate as to whose information I bring to the table, nor do I run away from it and say, hey, guys, I invented it.
Right.
I actually, yesterday, your discussion with Mike Mahler, I thought that was a terrific show.
Right.
And let's give credit where credit's due. All I'm doing is using some creative leeway to marry these concepts.
I was just going to say, what you're doing is you are finding the synergy between a lot of these different training protocols and going, wow, if you do this followed by this, you get an amazing response from it. Where those two guys aren't going to come together and say, do my protocol along with his protocol, because that's better than just doing my protocol by itself.
Yeah, I have had the privilege of speaking to Pete Sisko. I don't think I've spoken live with Charles, but certainly, everything that I've seen from both of them are that they're class guys that know their stuff. But you're right. There needs to be this forum whereby the best ideas are creatively put together. And that's really what happened with 3.0. The genesis of 3.0 when I sat down was, how do I top 2.0? Because it had nearly a 100% success rate.
Right.
So I sat down and kind of married some of the best concepts from many different camps, and then set about to objectively measure each one. And you spoke before about electricity.
Right.
Well, again, I'll get back to chiropractic. There's something known as a thermal scan that chiropractors use that measures the amount of heat in each vertebrae. And what that tells them, in essence, is how efficiently the electrical message or impulse from the brain through the spinal cord, through the nerve, to the muscle telling it to contract is. So when somebody approaches me, and we're going to have this conversation today, and they say, hey, I want bigger numbers in the big three, one of the first things I'll do is, have you been to a chiropractor? No? Okay. You know what? We don't necessarily need to go to one. I pull out two scales. I have them put one foot on each. And you will learn very quickly whether somebody has a subluxation or is carrying an inordinate amount of weight on one leg versus the other. And it's pretty revealing.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and start talking. What lift do you want to address first?
You know, let's take the bench first because a lot of guys want the big bench.
Okay.
And so I don't know where you'd like me to start other than...
Where do most people get caught up and get stuck in plateaus with the bench press, do you think?
I think what happens is, Carl, most of the guys that come to me have exhausted either newbie gains or linear progression. So they've been through the linear progression thing. Some of them have tried high-intensity training. They found out real fast that, yeah, it works, but like everything else, it works for just a while. Others come from Bill Starr's 5x5 camp. And then I have people coming from the pyramid and reverse pyramid camp. The bottom line is this. We can talk all day long about how to, you know, sticking points on the bottom, on the top, in the middle, bands, chains, and all these other tricks. But you will hear something that one of my old coaches said one time that really stuck again, which was, get strong on the major lifts. Now, I always sat back and scratched my head and said, well, how the hell do I do that? The reality is, if you look at the record books, the answers are not in the United States.
Huh.
We get our clocks cleaned and have been by the Eastern Bloc, former Eastern Bloc countries, since the 1950s.
Right.
I can't even recall the last record holder that we had. It might have been Ken Patera, who I recall speaking to, and I have a funny story for later. But the bottom line is, I will take somebody that is stuck at that level, and assuming there are no physical limitations, I will then prescribe what I refer to as a loading pattern, which is predicated on their one repetition maximum. I have several. I like the ones from Germany and Russia the best. There are others, but they fit together like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. And there are five that I can run somebody through back to back to back that will take anywhere from 6 months to a year, depending upon recovery ability, and they will add no less than 5% each loading pattern. That doesn't sound like a lot until you take a guy who's stuck at 300 pounds on the bench, and six workouts later, he's moving 315, you know, which for many people is a big psychological hurdle.
Really?
So that's an example of just one of the five loading patterns that they'll rotate through. And people are going to listen to this and they're going to say, well, you know, anybody can just cobble together the workout of the month out of, you know, XYZ magazine.
Right. Well, quite often those workouts in XYZ magazine don't work because they're designed for a much more elite athlete quite often.
They really are. And in particular, where people are going wrong is they are spending too much time in the 90th percentile of one rep max. So a little bit more about that. When you're working with weights that you can only move for one to maybe three repetitions for a length of time that's anything greater than about 3 weeks, your central nervous system will eventually shut down and you will get weaker.
Really?
Now, you can call it whatever you'd like. You can say bar speed's dropping, you know, the groove doesn't feel right. I don't care what you call it. The fact of the matter is your central nervous system, like you said, can only take so much. And if you fry it for any more than 3 weeks at a time in the 90th percentile, given whatever particular movement, and guys love to do this on the bench, central nervous system disinhibition
right.
will actually take place, and they'll start going backwards. So to remedy that, it's clear to me that you need to be able to stay out of the 90th percentile for, you know, the majority of the time. But at the same time, how do you get stronger? Well, the Germans know how to do it. The Russians know how to do it. The Bulgarians and the Iranians certainly know how to do it. It's called periodization and or undulating periodization.
Right. And you know what? A good friend of mine, Coach Wade Johnson, is he came up with a protocol that he calls the progressive wave. I'm trying to think if it was the progressive wave. But basically it's an undulating protocol where you're not always hitting your heaviest lifts throughout the
right.
process.
And what I did, Carl, was to get a better understanding of each loading pattern and how they best fit together, I sat down and graphed these things out using 100 pounds as a one rep max,
right.
just for purposes of illustration, and then charted the total tonnage on a piece of graph paper. Now, you're talking to a guy who's math impaired. If there's ever a guy that needs help with math, it's me.
Okay.
But after months and months of looking at these and studying them, I started to practice them. And then after years, and I mean, when I say years, I don't mean 2 years or 3 years. I mean more like 10 years. I found the optimal arrangement for, let's call it a half a dozen of these loading patterns, which keep the gains coming. And that's important because I see this all the time. You can put a guy on a program and peak him 6 weeks from now, and he'll walk away with a new one rep max. Wonderful. Where's he going to be in 6 months?
Yeah, can he continue that, in other words?
He can't. And yours truly made that mistake. I found this program that put nearly 10% on my lifts. And of course, you do it, and you say, oh, my God, you know what? This is fantastic. I'm just going to keep doing this. Well, guess what? You know, your brain and your body are an adaptive mechanism, and they will stop responding to what they have seen most recently. The fact of the matter is you need to have many different weapons, and you can only revisit the well so often before it runs dry.
Right. So in other words, strength is not an absolute progression. In other words, if you add 10% to your lift using a given protocol and you get there, that does not mean that you're going to be able to continue to add 10% in the same amount of time moving forward from where you just arrived at consistently over and over and over again. Keep adding and keep adding.
Certainly not with that same loading pattern or program.
Okay.
And this was this was an eye-opener to me. Back in the day when I was a lot younger, I sat down with a linear progression scheme and then later a periodization model.
I know, because when you think about it, if that was really the case, we would all be world-class powerlifters. My God, most of us have been in the gym for 10 years. By now, we should be able to bench press 1,000 pounds, deadlift 1,000 pounds, and squat 1,000 pounds.
You know, I'll never forget this. I was just fresh out of college, and I was at work, and I was bored, and I was charting this out, and I said to myself, wow, this looks so great on paper. I'm going to be benching 600 pounds within, you know, the next year.
And I love people who say, well, you know what, just focus on adding 2.5 pounds a week.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that. I've tried that. I went out and went so far as to have specialty plates made that weighed less than a quarter of a pound.
Were they magnetic plates? Were they the little magnet jobs that you just slap on, or they were actual plates?
No, these were actual plates.
Wow.
I've seen the slap-on ones. You know, I've heard all stories about adding washers and all this other stuff
right.
to the bar. But here's something else, you know, that if people don't remember anything else, remember this. Of all the variables that the body adapts to the quickest, it's the reps that you need to be concerned with.
Hmm.
And in particular, highly trained athletes will stop responding to a given rep range in about 6 workouts.
Wow.
So that is based now I can't sit here and say, look, folks, go to the UCLA Medical Library, and there's the study that backs that up. But what I can tell you is that I've been in gyms from California to Massachusetts, much like you have, and you show me an athlete that's been working with in the 10 rep range for the last 3 months, I'll show you some guy who's plateaued.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick up the discussion with Rob Regish, author of The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience of being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA-free. Go to 4sportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
I like this song. This is Michael Jackson and Gwen Stefani. Michael Jackson's doctor is on trial today. The doctor that supposedly delivered his fatal dose that ended up taking the star's life. Boy, oh boy. Sometimes I think my life is complicated, and then I hear stories like that, and I think, man, I'm glad I am where I am.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What a story, huh? Yeah.
Anyway, okay. So are we done with the bench press? Do you want to talk more about the bench press? You want to hit some other plateau-breaking tips?
The only other thing I'd like to say is once you have, quote-unquote, you know, gotten strong, or maxed out your potential on linear progression, do look into these loading patterns, whether you're interested in the blueprint or not. The answers are not in the United States. They're overseas. Now, yes, there are books here and libraries that will tell you about it, but what you're up against is essentially, how do I set a new PR and then, most importantly, build upon that? So, you know, for whatever it's worth, we know how to do that in Blueprint. I do it all the time for guys, and you can do it on your own. You certainly can. There's different roads that lead to the kingdom, but it's just so much easier when you have a roadmap, and that's what I try to provide.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about let's get into the lift that I love the most, and that is the deadlift. I really do love the deadlift. And you know, when people say, well, what do you think the lift that provides the greatest evidence of sheer physical strength, sheer physical power, I always think of the deadlift over the squat. There are people who say, no, the squat is the one, but really I think it's the deadlift, because the deadlift is like a squat, but it enlists so many more muscle groups right down to your grip.
There's no question about it. I would concur with you. The deadlift is, if I had to pick one lift, the ultimate measure of strength.
Yeah.
For many of the reasons that you stated and more. And it's also unique out of all the three lifts that we'll be discussing. Why? It's a concentric-only lift. You know, there is no real lowering portion to it.
And you're starting at the weakest point. Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, with the squat, you have the advantage of kind of a loading or stretching of the muscles going down. So there's right. almost a benefit, a small benefit, of course, but still a benefit of the recoil effect of the muscles, where with the deadlift, as the name implies, dead lift, the weight is starting dead on the ground, and you are at the most compromised point in the lift.
You really are. And you brought up a great point about building elasticity, I call it. Let's say, for example, with the squat or the bench press, when the weight is lowered and the muscles are under tension, there is that rebound or elasticity effect that you can leverage.
Right.
The deadlift is entirely different. The deadlift is a concentric-only lift. You're starting it from a – it is what it says it is. You're starting it from a dead stop. So depending upon where somebody is in their development, I will take them and either have them perform deadlifts from a deficit. If they have problem locking out, you know, it's a completely different problem. You get them inside the rack. But one of the things that has worked exceptionally well, and this goes for all the lifts, but I found this to be helpful with the deadlift too. If you could picture, I train alone, or most of the time. I have power rack in my basement. So the first concern, of course, is safety. But secondly, if you have a power rack, you have a huge advantage. Why? Because you can, for example, hang chains from the safety bars, and in between those chains, in between those loops, you can thread your 7-foot barbell.
Right.
Now, what does that do? Different than the pin settings on almost every rack, which are 2 inches apart, it allows you to have a three-dimensional sway of the bar.
Yeah.
And it allows you to, in increments of much less than two
yeah,
inches.
Yeah, the length of a chain, right.
There
exactly.
you go. And anybody who has ever pulled a big deadlift knows 2 inches is hundreds, you know, depending upon your body leverage and your, you know, the weight that you're using, it's hundreds of pounds.
Well, you know what? And more importantly, for those of us who are tall guys, you know that the pin settings quite often, when you're trying to do a rack pull,
yep.
The pin settings are not quite often not in the optimal place, and quite often will put you at risk of a lower back injury because it's not right below the knee where you want it, but it's 3 inches below the knee or gently at the knee or above the knee, and you don't want it in either of those places. You just want it an inch or two below the knee, and you can't get it there with those pins.
Right. And you know, I try to counsel guys all the time on this, and it surprises me because chains are cheap. It's a one-time purchase, and you know, when you do go and buy them, get the heavy ones. You know, stay away from this Fisher-Price swing set stuff.
Right.
Because you're going to have some man-sized weights on there.
Yeah,
if you don't already, you're going to have them eventually.
Yeah, you need the kind of chains that they use either on tow trucks or, like, on a ship anchor. You know what I mean?
Right.
You need a nice big 2-inch link You know, two minimum two-inch link and something that's galvanized as well.
Right. Now, the other thing about the deadlift is this, and it's quite different than the squat and the bench press, likely because it's a concentric-only lift. It seems as if you cannot perform it as frequently as you can the other lifts. Your central nervous system, to your point earlier, is under a tremendous amount of stress. And what I have found, and I know what many others have found, is that if you do perform it too frequently, your strength goes backwards.
Yeah.
If you stay away from it for a little while, your strength will go up. Now, that doesn't mean you sit on the couch and do nothing, of course. I always counsel people, depending upon where their weak point is, abs, abs, abs. You can never do enough heavy ab work.
Really?
And learn to squeeze your abs to lift more weight, in particular in the deadlift. If you think about it, the transfer of power is predicated on the strength of your abs. Now, let's say your abs are a sheet of steel. The power that's coming from your legs is being transferred through your abs, through that sheet of steel, up into the rest of your body, and vice versa on other lifts. Now, replace that sheet of steel with a pillow. What happens?
Yeah, the pillow's going to collapse under the weight. It's not going to
transfer.
Total
collapse. And your lower back ends up trying to pick up the slack. So if the solution is not more frequent deadlifting, what's the answer? Well, the answer are exercises that mimic the deadlift. And there are a whole laundry list of
like the good morning, for instance.
Exactly. Good morning off of suspended with chains. So now, you know, I'm not going to get into, or maybe we should get into, all the advanced stuff that Westside uses. But the reality is, for most of my people, once they are, quote unquote, once they get strong, we start breaking down that lift into parts. And that's when we either start working with chains, or I'm a huge fan of the hip belt, because I have guys training for meets, right? You've got to peak both the squat and the deadlift. Well, your spine is going to be under a lot of vertical compression and loading. At least one of those lifts needs to be addressed, not replaced, but addressed with the hip belt squat, at least as an assistance exercise. And I know we've discussed it on the last show, but for the listeners that have difficulty visualizing it, instead of the bar being on your back, hundreds and hundreds of pounds, the weight is suspended in between your legs. You are therefore able to squat up and down. Sometimes you need to, you know, step on a platform. But the bottom line is, you are able to move your body and the weight through space simultaneously, as you do in a traditional squat, with zero vertical compression of the spine or danger to the discs.
Interesting.
So, that in conjunction with the heavy, heavy ab work, I can't push that enough. I'll be honest, I don't do enough of that. I need to do more of it. You can never do enough heavy ab work, in my opinion, especially if you're focusing on the deadlift.
Yeah. I got to tell you the truth. I've thought about the ab work as it relates to the squat.
Yeah.
And I know that it's important as it relates to the squat. I've not thought about it as it relates to the deadlift, to be honest with you.
Hugely important in both lifts. The buzz phrase today, I guess, is core training, blah, blah.
Yeah, I hate that term. You know. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
All the chicks want to see the abs, right? Well,
right.
You know, the hell with that. Look at the strongman contest. These guys, some of them are well over 20% body fat.
Right.
And if you go back to the days of Alexeyev, the great Soviet lifter, he looks like he just walked out of your corner bar. You know, he had a gut on him that was enormous. But I would bet my 401k that his abs were stronger than anybody that was pointing at him saying, hey, who's that fat guy?
You know, Mike Miller told me that he did a lot. Now, Mike was one of the first guys to squat over 1,200 pounds. So, I mean, you got to give the guy a lot of respect. Mike Miller told me that he used to do, now I'm thinking about it, he used to do a lot of ab work. And at his gym at Nazareth, they used to have a contest between him and some of the other powerlifters there who could shoot a pencil off of their belly the furthest. They would lay on an incline bench and rest a pencil on their guts, suck it in, and then blow their belly out as hard as they could and see who could shoot the pencil the furthest.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
well,
he was a profound believer in a lot of ab work.
Yeah, and it really is true. And that's, that story does not surprise me. Why? Power athletes like that understand the importance of being explosive and ballistic. And I can vividly recall Fred Hatfield talking about one of his mentors that this gentleman did not simply get out of a chair like you and I do. He would literally jump no matter where he was or what he was doing. If he was sitting down, when he got up, he would, jump. And he did so to condition his central nervous system to be explosive.
Really?
Now, what you will find is that once you get into your heavy ab work and you start to really focus on it, the commercial gym scene is a joke because you need resistance. Like any other muscle group, the abs need resistance to get stronger. In order to provide the kind of resistance that you need, eventually you need to work your way up into, ideally, in my opinion, heavy, static holds, either standing or while on your knees, and really from a variety of angles. Let me give you a couple of examples. You attach rope push-down handle to a high cable.
Uh-huh.
And you kneel on the ground, and you have a partner assist you with a maximal weight into the fully contracted position with your abs, and you hold it for a count of five. Now, what you're going to find is, real quick, you're going to max that stack out, and you're going to need to start adding additional weights. You can also perform that same exercise standing. And it's beneficial to do so standing because if you think about it, when you're squatting and you're deadlifting, eventually you're fully, right, standing upright.
Yeah.
But if you do not have a partner, one of the other things you can do is attach that same handle to a low pulley and then crunch forward about a quarter of the way. Whichever way you want to slice it, you need resistance and lots of it. Because if you're going to start pulling 400, 500, 600 pounds and more in the deadlift, your abs need more than just, three sets of 10, which, it kills me, but I see people doing it all the time.
Well, and plus, that kind of ab work is the wrong kind of work anyway, in my opinion. If you want to make your abs stronger, crunching is not the way to do it. You need to do things that hyperextend the spine, and the abs have to fight back because that's really their primary job. Let's address this a little bit deeper when we come back. We're talking with Rob Regish. He is the author of The Blueprint, which is now available in 2.0 and 3.0. The website that they can get it at. Tell what's the name of that website again? That's the
bodybuildingsupplements.com.
Bodybuildingsupplements.com, and we're going to be promoting The Blueprint on Superhuman Radio starting the beginning of next week. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today. Sissies may want to stop listening.
listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLER.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Rob Regish. We're talking about breaking plateaus, making gains in the three major lifts. If you're not doing at least two of these lifts, you're really missing out. In my humble opinion, maybe it's because I can't bench press right now. I'm not a huge fan of the bench press as one of the major lifts. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I think the deadlift and the squat are really total strength builders for the entire body, protectors of the entire body. So, and we're talking about the, when we went into the break, we're talking about the importance of stomach strength. You know, I see a lot of people doing crunches. This was taught to me many, many years ago, and I'm trying to think who I first had this discussion with. The primary role of the abdominal muscles is to protect against hyperextension of the spine. So imagine if you can bend at the hips forward. Imagine if you bent at the hips backwards. They call that a broken back. Yeah. And the abdominal muscles basically allow the spine to be dynamic in its movement, rotation, and motion, with the exception of bending backwards. The abdominal muscles will do everything that they can to avoid the spine from bending backwards. So when you think about this, people do crunches. How is that exercising the abs? What you really need to do is challenge the abs in the plane and design that they were meant to work. And that is things like that little wheel where you extend your body all the way out and then come back again so that the body is resisting hyperextension of the spine. Would you agree with that, Rob?
I would. You need to think of it like this, I think. This is how it goes in my mind. The abs are there to protect the spine. The stronger your abs, it's like insurance. you know, it's insurance for your spine. If your abs are not picking up a large part of the work that you're doing in the squat, the deadlift, even things like one-arm rows, you need to ask yourself, if your abs aren't picking that work up, what is? The answer is usually your lower back. And all signs point to the chiropractor or the MRI at some point if you continue to go down that road. And yours truly made that mistake many years ago. You know, I'm not saying this to be disrespectful. I'm saying it to others to say, please don't make the same mistake I did. You can, and I have, you know, rebuilt myself bigger and stronger. But I know a lot of guys, their careers ended, and they no longer train with weights because their backs, their lower backs are, you know, they have discs that are fused, and they just have issues where they can barely get up and move around, never mind compete at a high level.
I'm looking on my Facebook. Kevin Johnson just asked in reference to the lower back, what about weighted back extensions? I've seen guys taking as much as 100-pound dumbbells, putting them on the floor under the extension machine, grabbing the dumbbell, and then doing their extensions, obviously holding the dumbbell.
What
do you think of those?
I absolutely love those. I think they're a fantastic exercise. They almost got me kicked out of the gym that I'm training in now.
Really?
But, oh, yeah. Well, you know, it depends on where you train, but the reality is the weighted, to answer his question, that weighted hyperextension is a superb exercise. What you do need to keep in mind are a couple of things. Number one, if you're going to hold a dumbbell either to your chest or behind your head or behind your neck, as I prefer to do it, be consistent, because as much as we spoke earlier about, you know, it's a game of inches, if that dumbbell is 2 inches closer to your body, it's easier to lift. If it's 2 inches further away, it's going to be more difficult, and you're going to be fooling yourself.
Right.
The other caution that I would offer is this. If you're holding the weight on your shoulders or on your neck, you're not going to be able to do this, at least with any substantial amount of weight, without a partner. Why? Because as I found out the hard way, you know, you throw that weight up there like you're going to, you know, it's on your back, right? Like you're going to squat.
Right.
And
then you have to step into that machine.
Exactly.
Into that, right.
So I step into the 45-degree hyper. And, you know, the reality is your body mechanics are not quite ready yet for the lowering of that weight under that control. And no, it's not because I was using too much weight. It's just you need to have somebody there to be able to lighten the load, shall we say?
Right.
To the point where you now have it on your back or at the base of your neck. Your nose is almost touching the ground. Okay, now it's game on. Now you can start doing your thing. Up, down.
Well, and you know what's especially important about that? And Kevin did post a second question, and we'll get to that in a second. What's really important, that especially us taller guys, you can hyperextend the knee if you're not careful. If you're not in position before you load the weight. Kevin likes to lift it from the floor. He has the dumbbell on the floor, and then he gets down in the lower position, and then he grabs the dumbbell, and then I'm assuming he brings it to his chest, or he leaves it extended, or whatever he does. He's not putting it on his back like you're suggesting. But I will, the one caveat with this movement, in my humble opinion, is a lot of bucket handle tears to the meniscus in the knee have occurred doing hyperextensions with weight, because if you allow the knees to hyperextend, meaning that they want, the hamstrings aren't strong enough for this movement, and instead of having a nice gentle 3 or 4 degree break in your knees are exactly locked out. You're putting a great deal of pressure on the front of the knee joint. It is actually biting down on the cartilage.
I appreciate you sharing that, because that is a risk that I was not aware of. I perform those all the time with some pretty darn heavy weights. I mean, I'm getting close to 200 pounds for a lot of reps on those, so I appreciate you know, sharing that, and certainly with the audience. But I guess to wrap it up on the deadlift anyway, the best thing you can do for the deadlift is a variety of movements, not only for the, you know, the deadlift itself. But for your lower back, your 45-degree weighted hyperextensions, if you are fortunate enough to train at a gym with a reverse hyperextension,
oh, yeah,
by God, use it. I built my own. It is a fantastic piece of equipment, and it will. It is not only a builder of strength, but it is also a superb rehabilitative tool. Why? It pumps fluid into the, or pumps blood, rather, into the spine, into the discs, where, as I spoke to before, the blood flow is just notoriously poor. Conversely, when the weight swings underneath your body and forward of your face, it is tractioning the spine and opening up the spaces between the discs. I had a guy I used to work with. His pain was so bad, Carl. He could not sit in his chair. And I went by his desk one day, and he was laying underneath his desk. He has a computer on his ground, on the ground.
Oh, my God.
What the hell are you doing? He said, I can't sit. He said, I can't even move. I had him come over three times. He had three sessions on the reverse hyper. And long story short, he canceled his surgery appointment.
Wow.
And
that's dramatic.
And bought himself one. And he is a national caliber water skier, I think it is. So, you know, I'm not saying it's going to work miracles for everyone. But, you know, Louis Simmons, a big thank you from a whole lot of people, I guess. So 45-degree hyperextensions, weighted, reverse hyperextensions, and, man, you, like I said before, you really can never have strong enough abs.
All right, let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, let's wrap it up by talking about the squat. How does that sound?
Terrific.
Okay, we're talking with Rob Regish. He is the author of the training guide called The Blueprint. It's a fantastic training guide, and we're going to be promoting it. I've never promoted a training guide before. I've seen a lot of stuff come down the pike. The reason I'm willing to promote Rob's training guide is because what Rob has done is he's gone out and selected all the different training modalities, techniques, and paradigms and looked at them logically and said, if you do this plus this plus this, you're going to get better results than doing any one of them independently. And he has created, in my humble opinion, the best training guide out there that anyone, I don't care if you're a competitive powerlifter or you're just a weekend warrior, we all want to make gains. Rob has the answers. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which is been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Uh-oh. You know what this is. We're going to give you 5 seconds to put your drink down and report to the dance floor.
Welcome back. Well, I guess we got to end the interview now because we got to get on the dance floor, Rob.
Oh, God, man. You don't want to see that.
He said we got to get on the dance floor.
Carl, you'll never have me back.
All right, so anyway, let's talk about the squat, you know. Another move, unfortunately, I'm not able to squat with a free bar right now simply because my shoulders hurt, and I know I sound like I'm wussing out here, but getting the bar on my back and holding the bar in place, because I like to hold the bar low on my back because I'm a tall guy and I need a good 7 or 8 degree forward tilt at the hips to perform the squat properly because I'm very, very long.
Yep.
In order for me to get the bar down on my traps where I like it, I have to really get my shoulders to go way far back more than they want to go right now because of the pain in the front heads of my shoulders.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
I've relegated myself to the power squat machine, and I know that power squat machines are not like regular squatting because I can squat 8 and 9 plates on each side in the power squat machine. And right now, last time I squatted with a free bar was probably a few weeks ago. And I did a few sets of 5 reps with 315. And it wasn't hard, but it was awkward because I hadn't been free bar squatting in a while. And free bar squatting is very different than squatting on any kind of machine, regardless of how closely it's designed to mimic the actual squat.
Yeah,
so I can't squat right now because of my shoulders. I want to squat. And there's this kid at my gym who has been squatting and you know somebody that you get the friction from, you don't know what it is, they don't like you.
Bad chemistry.
Yeah, and so you know he works out with his girlfriend and he was in the squat rack the other day and he's doing these little I won't do quarter squats. I will not do quarter squats. I don't care. If I can't get down to as close to parallel as possible and push out, then I'm going to lighten the bar.
Yeah.
And so when I say I did sets with 315, I mean, I have got all the way down. I'm not ass to ankles because I'm not that flexible, but I am down. I look like a Vietnamese guy smoking a cigarette. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? How they squat down. And so
yeah.
this guy, he loads the bar with 365 the other day.
Right.
And he's doing these little quarter squats, and I want to say to him, dude, just put 225 on and do them right.
Yeah. You know, you bring up a great point. I call the squat the great equalizer. Why? Because if you're competing oftentimes, you know, you're going to see guys with long arms. They're going to be fantastic deadlifters, right? But that works against them when they go to bench press. Now that all things are equal, and, you know, we get to the squat. Now, of course, in the competition, the squat is first. So if you're not going low enough, you're going to bomb out and you can go home.
Right.
But your point is well taken, and you see it all the time, and you know it's the truth. The heavier the squats get, the higher they get. So the question becomes, how do you train somebody to remedy this? And I do not think it is a matter of constant, I'll call it conscious reinforcement. I like to teach the central nervous system to automatically hit parallel, at least parallel, if not an inch below. How do you go about that? Well, there are a couple different ways. The first is box squatting.
Yeah.
Now, people are going to look at that and say, wow, that's the whole Louis Simmons thing. And yes, he does advocate those, and rightfully so. Not only do they build a tremendous amount of power out of the hole, but repeated often enough that you can build that into your central nervous system such that, I don't care what weight you put on your shoulders, your body will want to assume at least a parallel position or whatever box it is that you've been squatting on.
Well, let's talk about box squats for a second, because you know what? I never understood the box squat until I did a show, I believe, with Wade Johnson. We talked about box squatting. There's a lot of people out there who think that the box squat is just a touch-and-go movement. You actually sit down on the box, don't you?
Oh, God, please. Yes, you do. If you're listening and you're contemplating box squatting, please do not, touch and go or anything that's even coming close to a bounce. Why? Think about it. You got the bar on your back with a couple hundred pounds. Your energy, is moving downwards. And once you touch that box, where does the energy have to go? It gets absorbed by your spine.
Right.
You do that often enough or in the wrong position, and again, you might as well just set the appointment up with the doctor or the chiropractor. The proper way to go about box squatting is to sit back and then down, pause briefly, and then explode back up. Now, it's a difficult thing to relay over the phone or the radio.
Well, let's do something. Let's try. When you sit, okay, you're leaning forward with the bar on your back. Your ass touches the box. You actually transfer the load from your legs to your butt on the box. So you actually sit and kind of sit back just a little bit. You will a couple degrees kind of straighten up to get out of that squatting motion, right?
Yeah.
And then you have to lean forward again in order to launch.
Yeah, it's really you're reversing the movement. You'll often hear it referred to as static overcome by dynamic work, which is a fancy way of saying as if, you pause the bench on your chest. The bar is at some point motionless. There is no, rebound effect. You must overcome a motionless bar, and you do so by exploding off of that box. Now, yes, it's true. You need to reverse the motion, and you'll build a huge, huge amount of power out of the hole. If you are bombing out on the squat, if you have problems coming out of the hole, if you have problems with your depth, box squatting is a big part of the solution. The other part of the solution is what I spoke to earlier, which is the hip belt squat. And I know I keep harping on this, but think about it. If you rig it up the same way every time, and you're squatting off the same platform every time, you need only briefly touch those weights to the ground to ensure that your depth is perfectly parallel or perhaps an inch below every time. And the more you do it, the more you condition your central nervous system and your brain to squat parallel. So,
where do people get that hip belt again? I think you mentioned a couple places, right?
Yeah, there are two quality belts on the market. The first is in the original is made by Iron Mind at ironmind.com. And it's just simply referred to as the hip belt squat. The other place that I like to send my guys is Dave Tate's site, elitefitnesssystems.com.
Right.
And the belt that they are looking for there is something referred
and
to
is,
as...
I thought, is that what it is, or it's elitefts.com?
You know, I think you might be right, elitefts. They may have a couple of different website domains for it. But the Spud squat belt that Dave sells is another quality belt that's, you know, it's not going to fail you. You need quality equipment when you're working with hundreds and hundreds of pounds. Whether that be on your back, between your legs, around your waist, or whatnot. The
right.
One thing I would like to point out is when people do make a decision to buy either one of those belts, do yourself a big favor and buy a loading pin, a vertical loading pin.
Yeah, instead of trying to use a bar.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. You know, it's you can use a barbell, but, you know, I'll tell you now, it is... I don't know if the word awkward is strong enough. You're going to end up with a different leverage point every time.
Right.
And the loading pin just makes it a snap, and it's consistent, and consistency is what's important.
Right.
You know, you talk about squat depth, you talk about breaking plateaus. You need to be consistent. You need to be consistent with not only your gym visits, but also the plan and the roadmap that you have to get to your next PR.
Right.
Because when you get there, you know, celebrate it. Go out and have a good time.
But get ready to move on.
But get ready to move on.
I know, right?
You know, I'm telling you now, if you're satisfied with that, then forget it. You know, you might as well, I don't want to say stay home, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
You got to stay hungry. And if you don't know what's next after that PR, then there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Kevin Johnson has a follow-up question here, and I think I may have missed it. I should have asked it a little sooner. When we were still talking about doing the hyperextensions, the weighted hyperextensions, and you started talking about if you have a reverse hyper machine, use that instead. And he said, I missed that. Is he saying to do the movement I just described on the reverse hyperextension? And I don't think that's what he was suggesting. I think he was suggesting that instead of doing a weighted hyperextension on one of those hyperextension stands, if you have a reverse hyper machine, use that instead.
Yes. A mix of both of those movements is ideal because they do work different muscle groups. They work the same muscle groups, but they also work some different ones, teaching the body to fire them. In other words, synchronize them, as you spoke to earlier.
Right.
If you're really fortunate, and I am because I had my pendulum on my reverse hyper custom made, I attach a heavy band to it and tie the other end of it to a runner underneath the reverse hyper. So what does that do? Well, it as with bands on other exercises, it reverses the strength curve. So in other words, the higher that I try to kick that weight back, the more tension builds into my hamstrings. And man, if you're a sprinter or you're into any kind of explosive running, two sessions. I wouldn't be surprised if it took just one, but two sessions of reverse hypers, especially with a band, will make you faster instantly.
Wow.
And when I say instantly, I mean, you know, we talked before about building elasticity and explosive force into the muscle. It is like being shot out of a cannon. So there are a lot of different things you can do. Those are some of the best. So I would encourage people, if you have a regular hyperextension, use it. Make sure you're using progressive overload, meaning weights on it. And if you're really fortunate, you have a reverse hyper, use that too. And understand you can reverse the strength curve with bands to shake things up.
Where do you stand on cardiovascular training and what type?
Well, first of all, you absolutely need to do it. And I'm not saying
I'm with you. And that's why I'm asking. I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
And I'm not saying that because I'm an old man, because I I am.
Right.
But the reality is this. Your heart and lungs bring oxygen, nutrients from the diet that you eat to what? To your muscle tissue.
Right.
If you are building 10 pounds of new muscle tissue and you do not have a cardiovascular system to support it, a nervous system to talk to it, etc., then, sorry, you're SOL. That 10 pounds of muscle isn't going to be there in 6 months. So gone are the days, I think, of the old 300-plus pound strongman that can't walk up a flight of stairs. If you look at these guys today, you know, they're pushing prowlers.
Look at Marius Pudanowski is a perfect example. I don't know if the guy does cardio, but he's shredded. He's ripped to shreds.
Absolutely. You need the bottom line is you need a cardiovascular system to support not only the existing muscle tissue that you have, but since we're talking about breaking PRs, let's build some new muscle tissue. And you're going to need a stronger cardiovascular system to oxygenate it and to bring nutrients to it from the food that you eat.
In fact, I'm going to go a step further and say that your cardiovascular output, your cardiac output will dictate how strong you will get. And here, many of you know that my journey into physical culture occurred after I developed some heart problems back in the 1997, 1998.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did a lot of research. Well, I was also 300 pounds, and it wasn't muscle. I did a lot of research into the heart. I started to devour studies about cardiac function in general, and I came across a handful of studies that showed that there is a feedback loop in the brain that monitors the heart, and it's designed to protect us from killing ourselves. And the heart is actually the limiting factor on strength. The body will not allow, the brain will not allow the body to put the heart in jeopardy. This is very, very evident in so many things. But when you think about, cardiovascular output, and if you are not doing, I don't care how you do your cardio work. If you want to do farmer's walks with 250-pound kettlebells and walk around the neighborhood, I'm fine with that. If you want to do treadmill work, I'd rather you go out and run outside because really push your body along as opposed to having a belt running behind you.
Yeah.
However you get your cardio work done, don't listen to these people who say cardio makes you weak. It doesn't make you weak. If your heart, the stronger your heart is, the stronger your body will allow itself to be.
Yeah, you really need to keep this in mind. If anybody spouts that old line about cardio makes you weak, always remember this. Your cardiovascular conditioning will almost always be the rate-limiting factor in your work capacity.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? Well, run through a total tonnage workout sometime, you know, where you're doing 10 sets of 10. Let's just call it 10 sets of 10. Pick whatever exercise you'd like. You know, we'll even make it, let's make it the squat while we're at it, or the deadlift. Now, you come back to me and tell me cardiovascular conditioning doesn't matter after trying to go through that. Sorry. You know, the fact of the matter is, there are fundamental changes in your heart if you lift weights. How do we know this? Go to any doctor. What do they say? You've got athlete's heart.
Yeah. Right.
For a second, everybody gets spooked until there's an understanding that, yeah, the heart is different. The left chamber or the ventricle enlarges. It is not necessarily a bad thing. In many cases, it's a great thing.
Right. If the ventricle changes, the chamber changes, and we're not talking about the wall getting thicker and making the chamber smaller, but the chamber size changes as a response to work.
Yeah.
This is actually a good thing. If it changes idiopathically, you're a couch potato when it starts changing, this is not a good thing.
Fred Hatfield published a book many years ago, maybe 15 or 20. The title of the book, I believe, was Power. And he was about 260 at the time, I want to say.
Right.
And he had himself, he had some sort of diagnostic hooked up to him, EKG, whatever it is that shows the heart on the ultrasound monitor. And of course the supposition is, wow, you know, this guy's got a big waistline, he's a big guy, Yeah, he lifts weights, but gosh, his heart just, you know, his cardiovascular system can't be in that great shape. Well, guess what? When the numbers come back, the numbers were fantastic. I just got back from my general practitioner yesterday, and he took my blood pressure. I said, how was it? He said, that's amazing. I said, you haven't answered my question. He said, it's 102 over 70.
Right.
And I don't do, you know, I don't overthink it, Carl. High-intensity interval training is my preferred form of cardio. However, people need to be aware that just prior to, or in particular after, a heavy leg day, you will not be able to duplicate your best efforts insofar as if you're doing, like at the time I was doing the recumbent bike.
Right.
You know, I set it at level 21 and, you know, did my high-intensity interval training for 25 minutes. Well, you know, try doing that after an exhaustive heavy leg day, you know, of your loading pattern. I couldn't get past level 12. So the same goes for performing that type of workout before a heavy leg day.
Right.
High-intensity work is just what it says it is.
Yeah.
It's high-intensity. It's going to
But you know what? You know what? That kind of work increases the number of mitochondria per cell.
Sure.
As opposed to heavy lifting at 3 to 5 rep ranges, which down-regulates the number of mitochondria in the cell. You need a happy medium. So
you really do.
Don't abandon, when we talk about breaking plateaus, if you're not doing some form of cardiovascular training, whether it's brief, intermittent, high-intensity training, or whether it's walking through the neighborhood with doing farmer's walks with kettlebells or whatever it is that you prefer to do, you really are not giving your body every advantage to show you how strong it really is.
You know, you hear it all the time. Your heart is the most important muscle. A lot of times it gets glossed over by us weightlifters. But, as you pointed out, and I tried to point out, think about work capacity. The better your cardiovascular system, the better your work capacity. The more total tonnage you can lift equals the more lean body mass you can build.
Hey, we've come to the end of the show, Rob. I want to thank you, first of all, for coming on Superhuman Radio today. I want to remind everybody that Rob Regish is going to be a sponsor on Superhuman Radio. This is the first time I'm endorsing a training doctrine, and it's because I believe in what he's done here, and it's because he didn't postulate his own harebrained idea and say, well, this is the Rob Regish way. What he's doing is looking at all the different training modalities and assembling them in a way that they feed into each other so that you can build the greatest amount of strength and musculature in the fastest amount of time. So keep an eye out on Superhuman Radio for banner ads and radio spots and show Rob some love. Rob, thanks so much for coming on the show today, man.
Thank you for having me, Carl, and take care.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Okay, and we'll see everybody. Well, actually, there's no Casual Friday tomorrow because I am going to be traveling, but we'll see everybody Monday with more Superhuman Radio live shows.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.